You put your hand up already. Elijah's ready to answer the question, whatever it is. It's not a difficult one, okay? How many days to Christmas? Is it easy? How easy is that?
Super easy.
So what's the answer?
Three more days.
3 more days. Crow, that's amazing. Supplementary question then, okay? What's the most exciting thing for you about Christmas?
That we get to spend time with our family.
Wow, lovely.
Getting presents.
Presents, oh yes.
Eating food.
Eating food, that's actually a personal favourite of mine.
Celebrating when Jesus was born.
Good answer.
Playing with your new toys.
I'm hoping to get some new toys for Christmas as well. I have to say that I probably shouldn't say this, but you know, one of the most exciting things for me about Christmas has to be the presents. You know, and that's a bit kind of naughty, but I remember when I was a child, I used to desperately look forward to Christmas Day, and I think the hardest day was Christmas Eve. And the house began to sort of, the house was all decorated, sort of homemade paper chains. This was a few years ago, I have to say. The Christmas tree was up, the turkey was taking up far too much room in the fridge. There was a lovely smell of Mum's cooking. She cooked things at Christmas that she never cooked the rest of the year. Homemade sausage rolls, mince pies, Christmas cake, Christmas pudding. The vegetables were being prepared. The potatoes, the Brussels sprouts. The fruit, there was fruit in the fruit bowl, fruit that we didn't generally have the rest of the year. Satsumas and clementines. And out came the nutcrackers, and there was a bowl of sort of fresh nuts that were there, ready to crack. Brazil nuts, have you ever tried cracking Brazil nuts? Do you know what a Brazil nut is? They're hard, really hard. Peanuts, much easier. I used to prefer peanuts, because I could get to those. Brazil nuts, too tough for me. And we had this special drink that Mum used to buy from the co-op every year. I think it was called raisin cordial, really rich. I used to sort of drink it and pretend it was wine. It made me feel very grown up. But for all the tastes and the smells and all the kind of thing of Christmas Eve, I could not wait for Christmas Day. I just wanted Christmas Eve to be over. Come on, get on with it. I wish I could press a little button and fast forward time and get me through to Christmas Day, because I wanted to open my presents. I remember when I was about 12 years old, I was a little bit naughty. I was a little bit naughty for most of my childhood, but I was particularly naughty when I was 12 years old because I really wanted to know what my mum and dad had got me for Christmas, okay? And this was like 2 weeks before Christmas, so I went on a kind of Christmas present hunt around the house looking to see if I could find out what they bought me for Christmas, and I found their present for me. And I was kind of pleased, yeah, they got me kind of something I really wanted, but actually I felt a bit bad. And when Christmas Day came, the kind of surprise was sort of, you know, kind of missing. And it wasn't just missing the surprise, it was pretending to be surprised that I found slightly embarrassing and a little bit, you know, just made me feel bad. And ever since then, I've really not wanted to know what anyone's got me for Christmas. I've wanted to enjoy that surprise. And at Christmas time, we give and receive presents, don't we? Because we're celebrating God's most incredible and greatest gift to us, the birth of Jesus, his son. And the Bible tells us in this very, it's a very famous verse that talks about this thing of God's gift to us. Anyone can, any of the children can, it's in John 3:16. Does any of the children know that verse? Look at this.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son to... I forgot the rest.
That's really good. I'm very, very impressed. We got the verse up there. It is exactly right. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And it goes on that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when this verse talks about the world, it means everybody, everywhere that has ever lived, that is living now and will ever live in the future. That's a really, really big, big present. God gave us, all of us, the gift of his son. Not just a present for Mary and Joseph, not just a little baby for them, but a baby for everybody who has ever lived and whoever will live. How could one person be such a gift for so many people? And why would God want to give a son to everybody? The thing is, this was a gift within a gift, and that verse goes on, doesn't it? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And God just sent Jesus as a gift to solve the biggest problem we ever had. It's lovely when you get a kind of a useful present for Christmas, like you might get an electric drill, or you might get a whisk, you know, to sort of make the food, or a machine for the kitchen. I love presents with plugs on. I really do. I like a present that's got a bit of oomph in it, that does something. But God gave us the most useful present, the most powerful present to solve the biggest problem that we have in our lives. And that problem is called sin. This is the thing that separates us from the God who loves us, the God who made us, and separates us from one another. And Nick showed us last week in the carol service, didn't he? He put that little word up, didn't he? Sin on the screen. What's the middle letter of that word?
I.
And that's that problem, isn't it? The real problem, the me problem. The problem that sums up what sin is about. And the thing is, God wants my life to be sweet, beautiful music, to blend in with the beautiful music that he's playing, like this. The trouble is, I want to play my own music. I know how to do life. Oh dear, oh dear. Come on, move over. Unfortunately, God's music is so much better than mine. Oh, I mean, it would have been great, wouldn't it, if it kind of sort of blended into beautiful music, but I, quite frankly, can't play any instrument at all, let alone the keyboard. The trouble is that sin makes life messy. It makes life ugly. It makes life noisy and nasty. And what God wants to do is to make life beautiful and fruitful. And so God's gift to us at Christmas is his son, Jesus, to solve, to address, to meet this incredible need we have, the solution for sin. God's gift was Jesus, and Jesus' gift to us was his life sacrificed on the cross. The thing is, if somebody offers you a gift, you need to receive it, don't you? There's no point somebody offering you a gift if you sort of ignore it and leave it. And the thing we need to do is receive this gift from Jesus, this gift from God. We each need to receive this gift of life. Thinking of presents reminds me of something else that happened when I was a young child. There's a picture. Here we go. Look, that's me. I know. That's me when I sort of just around the time I started school. You see my school tie? That was actually red and white. Black and white photo doesn't show it up so well. My first teacher at school was a lady called Miss Stead. I had a bit of trouble with her name, actually. I thought her name was Miss Dead, which is a bit sinister, but her name was Miss Stead. And she had this thing that when she called the register, okay, rather than saying, what do you say when the teacher calls the register?
Here.
Here. What else might you say when the teacher calls the register?
Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, that's a very posh sort of school you go to. Hello. Well, traditionally, my understanding is that most children would say yes, miss, or here, miss, or something like that. But what Miss Stead wanted us all to do was to say present. Now, I couldn't figure out why Miss Stead wanted us to say present when she called our names. And every time she called the register and my name was called and I said present, this is what happened. I'd have this picture in my mind of this wonderful box, all wrapped up in nice paper and tied with a lovely big red bow on the top of it. Now, does anyone here know why Miss Stead wanted us to say present when she called the register?
Because present means here.
Wow. You see, you knew that. I didn't know that. That's amazing. That's right. Present is one of those words that means different things. It can mean like a gift, something that somebody gives you, or it can mean here and now. And this takes us on to another wonderful Christmas word that we find in the Bible. This is in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And it says this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And Jesus is God's promised present in both senses. He is both God's gift, his present to us, and he is God's presence. He is God present with us here and now. Who here likes football? Yeah, yeah. Has anyone heard of a team, Arsenal? Sorry, I knew that would divide the room, and I'm really sorry about that. Sorry to mention that. Can anybody tell me who this is? Ooh.
Jack Wilshere.
He's famous. And do you know that on Friday evening, Miriam and Vicky and I had dinner with Jack Wilshere? Now, how cool is that? Eh? And just in case you don't believe us, here is a picture of Miriam and Jack Wilshere. Now, they say that one of the things about Jack Wilshere is he's quite small, okay? And actually, I didn't realize he's only about 2 foot tall, taking a little drink there from the glass. Okay, so he wasn't actually standing next to our table and having dinner with us. He was sitting in the corner. Okay, so he's not really 2 foot tall. The thing is that Emmanuel, this thing of God with us, doesn't mean God somewhere in the same room as us, but kind of doing his own thing, like at a table over there, like Jack Wilshere, sitting, you know, talking to his friend. The only reason I knew it was Jack Wilshere because people kept coming up to him and sort of saying, "Can I have my photograph with you?" And I thought, why are they doing that to that guy over there and not to me? You know, what's different about that guy? Anyway, then I realized he was famous, and I quickly Googled him on my phone. Anyway, this word Emmanuel, it doesn't mean God sort of, you know, just somewhere around, somewhere sitting at a table over there, kind of doing his own thing. Emmanuel, God with us, means we are invited to sit at his table and share our dinner with him. It means God available, God listening, God caring, God involved in the details of our lives. In fact, it means God within, God at work in our hearts. It was lovely at the beginning of the testimonies that we had, because all those testimonies were about God involved in the details of people's lives, faithful and true and present and real. When we receive this wonderful gift that Jesus has made available to us through his death on the cross, God becomes present, a present reality in our lives. Here with us, sharing our joys, sharing our pain, mending us, changing us, making us. God at work from the inside. In that Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," that we sang at the carol service, that last verse goes, "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." And I just, you know, as Christmas is here, on Christmas Day, you're opening your presents, just remember, I would encourage you to remember this greatest, greatest gift of all. The present, God's present to us, and the presence of Jesus for us. Amen.
Fantastic. We're going to finish this morning. At the carol service, the last thing the children did was sing a blessing over us. And we're going to do that today. So if everyone in the room would stand, please. Children, stand up. And what I'd like you to do is let's have the words up on the screen.